Ignition sequence start.
The reason I'm prepared for this position is because I've been preparing for this all my life.
As far as James, he's our guy.
We still got James Harden. Our goal is still to win a championship.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
Being in a win now situation, that's great. I'm a win now coach.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2.
Mayor of Houston is back, and we are not talking Sylvester Turner. What's up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and the founder slash managing editor of ClutchCityControlRoom.com, your home for all things Houston hoops. You can follow me on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets, and also the blog at ClutchCityCR. So today's biggest breaking news story is that Gerald Green, the mayor of Houston himself, is actually back for the Rockets' 2020-2021 campaign. The Rockets have signed Gerald Green to a one-year, non-guaranteed deal, which was to be expected. Look, Gerald Green is just Houston to the bone. You know, he's a fan favorite and has been a staple part of the organization for the last couple years. And unfortunately, this past season, you know, because of the foot injury that he sustained during preseason, he wasn't around for last season at all. But, you know, he was a really big part of that 2017-2018 team that, you know, wound up winning 65 games after, everybody should remember the stories of him, you know, shooting hoops with his dog in his driveway, having to borrow a pair of sneakers from Trevor Ariza when he showed up for his first game about midway through the season when the Rockets picked him up. And then he was a big part of the 2018-2019 campaign as well. So getting him back, and, you know, even though he's not going to be, you know, Gerald's not going to be a guy who is, you know, any part of a legitimate, you know, 8 or 9 man playoff rotation, but he's one of those guys that, you know, he gives you energy. He's that microwave kind of guy where you plug him in off the bench and he can get hot in a hurry, potentially win you some regular season games, can hit some clutch shots here and there. Shout out Phoenix Suns, but legitimately, Gerald is a really great locker room presence too. He's somebody who, you know, has to have him around, you know, around the guys. Not having his presence around in the locker room last season, I don't want to say that it adversely impacted the team, but it's just a staple of quality teams out there, championship caliber teams, to have a player or a couple players in this regard, like Gerald Green or like Tyson Chandler from last season. Those locker room presence guys who can kind of maybe, you know, diffuse tension. You know, it's not like he's back there being a therapist, but just, again, we tend to underrate at times, I feel like, you know, as NBA fans, as media, whatever, I think we tend to underplay and devalue the chemistry aspect of this game. And Gerald is a guy who gets along so well with everybody on the team. You know, he's such a likable, personable guy. And when he talks about, you know, his experience playing for the Rockets, or just, you know, his life experience, you know, the fact that he's from Houston, that he loves this city, you know, everything about this place, it's infectious, right? You get that type of energy, that type of mentality around guys who aren't necessarily from Houston, but who are representing the city and you know, the team, the organization in the Houston Rockets. You get that type of mentality surrounding them for an entire 82, or in this case, a 72 game season. It can lead to some good things, I think. And this might be a situation where, hey, you know, when you've got so many questions surrounding James Harden, Russell Westbrook, the future of the franchise, all these things, who better than to have in your locker room than a guy that bleeds Houston? You know, the guy with the I-45 tattoo on his shoulder, you know, than Gerald Green, to try and maybe play his cards right and be in James Harden's ear all season about, look, man, you know, this is your team, this is your city, this is the place where you want to retire. This city adores you. This city supports you. You've got an entire city on your back. And I'm here, you know, along for the ride, telling you, look, man, you know, this is this could be your legacy, you know, retiring the second greatest Houston Rocket to have ever donned the jersey. You know, I still think back to, you know, media day at the start of this last season before Gerald busted his foot, you know, talking about what it means to him to have James Harden embrace the city of Houston, to see a guy who's not from here care so much about the city and about the fans and its people. And, you know, I genuinely believe that James Harden harbors no ill will for the Houston Rockets and is just, you know, at this point in his career where, depending on what the rumors, you know, are, you know, how strong they are now, whether or not the Rockets, you know, have any inclination to actively move him if a trade offer does present itself, all that stuff that we've dealt with for the past, you know, weeks of NBA offseason, just throw all that aside for a minute. And Gerald recognizes how much James Harden loves this city, how the city has embraced him, and how he has embraced the city as a transplant. Because let's face it, right? If you're a Houstonian, Houston is a city of transplants. There's so many people here that are not native Houstonians, but that have come here from other places, other states, other countries even. And, you know, that's what's so beautiful about the city of Houston is it is a melting pot of so many different cultures and ideals and backgrounds and all that stuff. And for James Harden to be a transplant, one of those guys to come in and embrace that city to the level that he did. I mean, the guy's opening a restaurant here. He's a minority owner of the Houston Dynamo. Like, come on. The guy has completely cemented his life here in Houston. And yes, he's an NBA player. Yes, he's a multimillionaire. He can, you know, at the drop of a hat, you know, go buy a new house in Brooklyn if he, you know, moves up there and, you know, relocate his life. But genuinely, he seems happy here. He has embraced the city. He's had multiple chances to decide to leave, to ask for trades. He could have done all that. And it took until this last season. So I think where I land on this whole James Harden saga right now is it kind of feels like that maybe he was trying to force the hand of ownership. Maybe James Harden realized that he needed, you know, a better supporting cast around him, better pieces, you know, a legitimate shot at a title here in Houston. And the only way to do that was to say, hey, I either want you guys to make a concerted effort to get me the pieces that I think we need to win, or I want to be traded to the Nets to go try and win a title over there. And for everything that we've seen so far this offseason, the revamped coaching staff, the addition of Christian Wood, DeMarcus Cousins, bringing back Gerald Green, the fringe signings, Sterling Brown, Jayshon Tate, getting David Nwaba back into the fold, all of these signings, they point towards a team that has every inclination to try and compete for a title this upcoming season. Now, I do have more that I want to talk about. I want to still take that deep dive on Christian Wood. There's a couple other things that I want to hit on, and we'll get there in just one moment after a quick message from our friends over at Built Go. Whether it's a mental or physical wall, break through it with Built Go every single day. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It's kind of like 5-hour energy, but without that same crashing feeling. Plus, it's natural, so it's way better for your body. It's kind of like drinking a Monster, but with just a third of the caffeine and significantly better results. They come in these little, like, 1.5-ounce packages. You can keep it in your pocket throughout the day, maybe throw it in your briefcase, your gym bag, whatever, help you power through your workout. They have three amazing flavors, peanut butter honey, which is my personal favorite, my go-to. They've also got chocolate coconut, chocolate mint. And again, whether you're just trying to, you know, get through a workout, get through a tough day at work, whatever it may be, you can do it with Built Go every single day. Just check them out at builtgo.com and use promo code LOCKED and you'll get 20% off your very next order. So again, that's promo code LOCKED for 20% off at builtgo.com. Let's go. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Be sure to come back and check out more of our shows later this week because I really am, you know, after getting kind of used to this B-ball index advanced tracking data that they have, because they've got so much data to be able to pour through. It's a little bit overwhelming at first, but it's such a nice resource. And I was finally able to really sit down and try and familiarize myself with some of their tools and some of their, you know, the way that they approach certain stats and things like that. And so I do want to revisit some other players. I want to do a, you know, profile on James Harden, on Russell Westbrook, and kind of, you know, hammer out some of these statistics and kind of present some of this information to you. And I'll do that in later episodes as we're prepping for the start of the NBA season, which, hey, we are just 10 days away from Rockets basketball. They will play their first preseason game. They have four preseason games. They will play their first preseason game December 11th in Chicago against the Bulls. Then they'll play again December 13th, also in Chicago against the Bulls. Then they've got two home games against the Spurs on the 15th and the 17th of December. So four preseason games total, and that means we are just 10 days away from Houston Rockets basketball, and we are just days away from the Rockets reporting for individual workouts and training camp. So we'll start to hear from the players, the coaching staff, which will be phenomenal. And as usual, as soon as we hear from those interviews, I'll be running back some of the audio here on the podcast. That way we can discuss it, talk about it, kind of infer, try to, you know, break things down, the usual stuff that we can do once we get access to the, you know, to Steven Silas, to the assistant coaches, to the players, all that good stuff. Now, what I want to do is I want to jump into the Christian Wood deep dive courtesy of B-Ball Index. And first things first is I want to familiarize you really quickly. If you've ever played 2K, you should be familiar with the badge system from 2K. And so the badge system is essentially a way to reward players with statistics, things that they're good at, essentially. And so what I want to do is, you know, explain the B-Ball Index badge system. And they've kind of modified this a little bit so that, because the badge system in and of itself from 2K is a really unique, fun way to kind of base talent on certain skill sets that players have in the game. And so B-Ball Index took that idea and then made it, you know, it's not biased because there's actual math behind their badge system and how they approach the badges and everything that they assign to certain players, because it's not just some Joe Blow sitting in a room somewhere saying, oh, well, I think this player is good at this, so we're going to give him this badge. It's not like, you know, it's not like the scene in Moneyball where you got a bunch of old heads sitting around a table, you know, talking about, well, he's got a face for this, and you look at his girlfriend, and he, you know, he's a guy with a lot of confidence. No, it's none of that. It's all based in math. It's all based on advanced stats, on tracking data, all this stuff. And so it's so unique and interesting. So what I want to do really quick is we're going to walk through the badges that Christian Wood has earned through the B-Ball Index player tracking system, and then we'll break down what each one of those badges mean. So there's three tiers for the badges, and it's based on the Olympic standard of, you know, medal award system. So it's, you know, 5 points for a gold badge, 3 points for a silver badge, and then 1 point for a bronze badge. So Christian Wood has, in total, that is 7 badges. He's got 2 gold badges, 1 silver badge, and 4 bronze badges. So, and one of them, unfortunately, isn't going to count as much this next season, but it's still, they're giving him credit for it because these are all the stats and numbers from last season. So, but his 2 gold badges are the two that I'm most impressed with, and they are Putback Boss and Pick and Popper. And so we've talked a lot about, you know, what's so exciting about Christian Wood, and it's because he's going to give the Rockets a dynamic presence at the 5 spot offensively. He's a guy who can be, you know, a rim runner. He can play that vertical spacing game, but then he's also a guy who can pick and pop. He can play on the perimeter. He's got a really quality 3-point shot, you know, all these things. But I want to give you the context behind that. So again, his badges, his gold level badges, Putback Boss, Pick and Popper. So let's take a look really quick and figure out what those badges actually mean. So let me track down. Okay, so for Pick and Popper, this badge identifies players taking a high rate and shooting at a high percentage on pick and pop plays. So there's no prerequisites for this badge. Now, the differentiator is that it is the pick and pop points over expectation per game. So it's an expectation of the points per game that he should, you know, be able to deliver in pick and pop scenarios. Now there is a small sample eliminator, so the you know, his total volume of pick and pop plays has to hit a certain threshold before they evaluate him for this role. And so those are some of the kind of prerequisites, some of the requirements to make it in the gold badge for pick and pop player. Now for the Putback Boss badge, this badge identifies players that are active on putbacks and effective at converting on them. So there are a couple prerequisites for this. He has to have 70 a B minus on putbacks per 75 possessions minimum. Now when I say B minus, as far as B-Ball Index is concerned, they rate players. They have a rating system as far as the, you know, the certain percentiles where players fall in when compared to other players in that category. So to be able to be in the put back boss category, Christian Wood has to have a B minus or higher compared to the other players in that category. So he's compared against the other bigs in the league on a per 75 possession basis. It's again put back points over expectations. So the expectation that, you know, of what he'll be able to deliver on attempted putbacks. And then the he has a small sample eliminator of total putback possessions. There's a minimum number set there to eliminate, you know, just a couple, you know, any other players who just had a very small number of putbacks in that regard. So those two badges are impressive because it shows not only is he a versatile player offensively, but he is a guy who thrives at least on the offensive glass. And he's actually his finishing ability when looking at some of these numbers that B-Ball Index has set aside. The two sets that actually stood out so much to me were Christian Wood's finishing ability, which is an entire category that B-Ball Index has set aside, and his roll gravity. And those are two areas that I want to dive into here in just a moment, because those are the two areas that really stood out to me. And then when I compared him to two guys, because we're actually going to look at Christian Wood compared to Clint Capella and compared to Kristaps Porzingis. Capella, because obviously he was the Rockets' previous five, and he's kind of, when you're thinking of Christian Wood and what he's going to be able to replicate, we're thinking of Clint Capella and what he provided in the sense of vertical spacing alongside James Harden as that pick and roll lob threat. So I want to compare those two guys in just a moment. And then I also want to compare Kristaps Porzingis because we've seen or talked about and discussed a lot of the comparisons between James Harden and Christian Wood versus Luka Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis and what Steven Silas will have to work with here in his offense in Houston as the Rockets' new head coach versus the offense that he was running in Dallas as the Mavericks basically, you know, offensive coordinator under Rick Carlisle. So those are the two bigs that I really want to compare and contrast Christian Wood to. Now the remainder of his badges, I'm not going to dive too deeply into each one of those, but his only silver badge is actually the microwave badge, which is essentially for players that, you know, are able to come off the bench and provide that immediate impact and can heat up quickly off the bench, which, you know, again, Wood won't be necessarily in that role this next season because he will more than likely, 99% sure, be the Rockets starting five. So he won't be in the position to be that microwave presence off the bench, but that doesn't eliminate the fact that he is a player that can heat up quickly and that can very much get his own. You know, even going by his quote of saying that he believes he can be a good second option to James Harden. For all intents and purposes, even if Russell Westbrook is still a part of this team moving forward, he might as well be the second option. He might be a better, more efficient second option behind James Harden than Russ would be, which would allow Russ to kind of, you know, move back into that, you know, floor general role to be more of that facilitator and less so the offensive engine that we saw him striving to be last season. Because unfortunately, Russ just isn't, you know, a super efficient player at times. And if you can have your options one and two in Harden and Wood be, you know, uber efficient players, and then have Russ just focus on what he excels at, getting out in transition, pushing the pace, creating for others, creating for Harden, creating for Wood, then that might be the best dynamic for this new Rockets big three. His other badges, his bronze tier badges, there's four of them. He's actually got a bronze tier badge as a rim protector, as a contact finisher, Iron Man consistency, and the nuclear upside. Nuclear upside is actually a really fun one, and I actually want to track that one down to give the proper explanation for it. So this badge identifies players with the highest percentage of games where they quote-unquote go off and have elite impact. So that's a really fun one because, again, Christian Wood, and this one might skew a little bit different for Christian Wood because he had those 12 games where when he slid into the starting lineup for the Pistons, his averages completely jumped off the page. So this one might be skewed a little bit differently because I don't think it actually takes into account the fact that, you know, he was a bench player for X part of the season and then jumped into the starting lineup. I'm not actually 100% sure on how B-Ball Index crunches those numbers, at least as far as this specific badge is concerned, because in fact, there's not a small sample eliminator on this badge. But it's still fun, nonetheless, to think about what Christian Wood is capable of and that he very well could be a guy that, you know, walks into the Rockets, you know, franchise and starts putting up 20 and 10 every single night, which is insane to think about, you know, that the Rockets got a player of that caliber and added a player like that this offseason to pair with James Harden and Russell Westbrook moving forward. So here in just a moment, we're going to dive into those two categories that I spoke about for Christian Wood, his ability, his finishing ability per B-ball index, and then his roll gravity, which is the one that I'm most excited about. And we'll get there, as well as the comparisons to Clint Capella and Kristaps Porzingis in just 1 second. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Now, if you haven't checked it out yet, be sure to check out the Hollinger and Duncan podcast, part of our very own Locked On Podcast Network. They're NBA analytics pioneers, you know, and front office, former front office insider, John Hollinger. You know, they bring you scouting reports, game breakdowns, salary cap analysis, and more. So be sure to subscribe to Hollinger and Duncan today, wherever you listen to this podcast, wherever you get your podcast, Apple, Spotify, wherever it may be. Now, continuing our dive on Christian Wood and these two final categories that I want to talk about, his finishing ability and then his roll gravity. So I'll start with the finishing ability first, just because I'm really excited about the roll gravity element and kind of what that entails, because that's the area that we've been so excited about, myself and many other voices that we've had on this very show, you know, as far as what we expect Christian Wood to be able to provide to the Houston Rockets. So his finishing ability, you know, this is in comparison to 81 other NBA players. So what this does, the way the player comparison tracker works, the way the player profile works, I should say, for B-ball index, is that you can designate a player and then you can give kind of an advanced position type. So what I've done for Christian Wood, because he's actually in B-ball index's tracking data, he's actually quantified as a power forward. And so what we did, though, is I have him adjusted so that we're actually comparing him to bigs across the NBA. So he's being compared currently to 81 other NBA players in the archetype of big. So that includes centers, power forwards, anybody that falls into the category of big is what he's being compared to. And that's what these percentiles and these grades are going to be compared to. So compared to other NBA level bigs, Christian Wood's overall finishing talent, which is a rating that evaluates a player's ability to get up and get to, you know, the rim and score at the rim, is essentially an 89. He finishes in the 89th percentile, which is good enough for an A minus. Compared to other NBA bigs, which is an impressive finishing rating. And then his ability to just finish at the rim, he falls in the 85th percentile, good enough for an A-minus rating. And then this last one is another impressive stat to me, is just his ability to get to the rim, which is the evaluation of a player's ability to get to the rim, leveraging the player's unassisted volume per 100 possessions, and their rate that they are unassisted at the rim is actually 80 in the 83rd percentile. Again, good enough for an A minus grade in the eyes of B-ball index. So, you know, he's a guy who has no problems getting to the rim himself. Now, the roll man side of things is where things get pretty interesting, because he's actually super dominant as the roll man. And this is where I'm excited about him and what he's going to be able to achieve in a Rockets jersey, especially alongside James Harden. Because when we think about what Clint Capella was able to do alongside James Harden and just how effective that two-man game was between Harden and Capella. Harden makes life so much easier for whoever his role man is, because he himself attracts so much attention offensively that all the role man has to do is be even like moderately adept at finishing around the rim and, you know, catching passes and finishing through some occasional contact, that kind of thing. It's just being in the right spot at the right time, setting a good screen for Harden, and then rolling hard to the rim. Or in Christian Wood's case, being able to be that pick and pop player as well, since that's something that he clearly thrives at. But Christian Wood has basically, A's or A minuses across the board in a lot of these categories. So as far as his roll man possessions per 75, or his roll man per 75 possessions, his value was about four rolls per game, which is only in the 72nd percentile. But that number is going to absolutely skyrocket playing alongside James Harden. His ratio of rolling, popping, or slipping on these screen and roll possessions is 65% rolls to the rim, 25% pick and pop plays, and then 10% where he slipped the screen and then just, you know, slipped straight to the rim. That number is going to skyrocket as well. I do think that the roll number is probably going to jump up considerably, and the pop number will probably stay about where it is. I'm not expecting the slip number to change too much. You know, again, it's tough looking at it how Silas is going to utilize him in this offense, because I think that when you look at what he is successful at doing, Christian Wood can finish at the rim, can finish around the rim. But just to compare really quickly, Clint Capella's number, when he was rolling to the rim for the Rockets this past season, he actually, let's see, where did his numbers come in at? Finishing, roll gravity, there we go. Clint Capella this past season, his roll, pop, and slip ratio was actually 83% rolls, 2% pops, which makes sense, and then 14% slips. So that might give you some bit of an idea as to what Christian Woods is going to look like. Obviously, Christian Wood, being a pick-and-pop player, is actually going to be able to utilize that element of his game where Clint Capella just didn't have that element. It just didn't exist, unfortunately. In fact, that 2% pops number is probably just not even, it's not legitimate pick and pop scenarios. It's scenarios where Clint sets a screen and gets a pass, you know, probably in the mid range that was classified as like a pick and pop. But you know, again, that categorization is a little strange to me. But comparing them, you know, head to head, as far as the other roll gravity statistics, looking at the amount of the roll impact, which is points scored per 75 offensive possessions on the court from rolls above or below what the league average efficiency would yield, Christian Wood actually ranks in the 97th percentile. So plus 0.87 points per 75 possessions on rolls, roll impact, or rolling to the rim. And then his pop impact, same situation, 97th percentile plus 0.42 points per 75 possessions as a pick and pop player. And then this is where, hang on, where did I lose this other stat at? Let me go back to my other page. So I've got a million tabs open right now trying to track down all these statistics. Slip impact, total roll man impact. That's not the one that I wanted. Where was it? Ah, sorry. It's down here on his efficiency value. There we go. Is this it? Sorry. Looking for it. There we go. This is the other one that's so interesting to me, is that his actual, his points per possession as the pick and roll man, his efficiency, just overall, Christian Wood's efficiency is through the roof. You know, this past season, he had a 66.1% true shooting percentage, 62% effective field goal percentage. His true shooting percentage, again, ranked against other bigs, the 81 other bigs that B-Ball Index measures him against, ranks in the 83rd percentile, good enough for an A-minus grade. Now, when you look at his pick and roll man percentage, as points per possession, it's actually 1.49 points per possession, which ranks in the 98th percentile of these 81 NBA bigs. Good enough for an A grade for B-Ball Index. And that should, to me, that just screams the fact that when you put him in the role man slot alongside James Harden, Christian Wood is absolutely going to thrive. Because who in Detroit was actually feeding Christian Wood, you know, this past season? Who in Detroit is, nobody in Detroit matches or can even hold a candle to what James Harden is going to provide in a pick and roll scenario for Christian Wood. Now, here's another one, is as the actual pick and roll ball handler. So if Christian Wood was having screens set for him, he actually was averaging 1.38 points per possession. So that's a little bit unreal as far as just his efficiency in the pick and roll, whether as the ball handler, whether as the roll man. And that's an interesting dynamic, because we did see a little bit of 1-5 pick and roll with James Harden and Jeff Green this past Rockets playoff run. And so maybe there's a situation under Steven Silas, if he gets really creative with things, where, you know, instituting a little bit of that dribble handoff with Christian Wood out there on the perimeter. Maybe there's some situations where he's actually instituting a 1-5 or a 5-1 pick and roll, I should say, an inverted pick and roll, as Ali Kambijani would describe it. And that's an interesting dynamic as well, because Christian Wood has a good enough handle that he can actually drive to the rim all the way from the three-point line. You know, is he going to drive consistently every single possession? No, but he's agile enough and quick enough to take opposing bigs off the dribble and finish directly at the rim. That's why his finishing numbers are impressive, because his ability to get to the rim and subsequently finish at the rim are considerably better than a lot of other players at his position. So, you know, again, we've talked about a lot of hype surrounding Christian Wood, and, you know, myself and many others about why we're excited about him. And I really hope some of these numbers help to kind of clarify why Christian Wood is going to fit in so well, especially in a Rockets dynamic with James Harden, who is arguably the best pick and roll ball handler in the entire NBA, and then Christian Wood, who is no doubt going to jump off the page as one of the best pick and roll bigs in the entire NBA. Now, really quickly, before we wrap things up here, I did promise comparing Christian Wood and Clint Capela, as well as Christian Wood and Kristaps Porzingis. So just a quick rough talent comparison, which is just a quick breakdown. I won't get into any of the numbers behind it this time around, but just right off the bat, comparing them, you know, we've got a short list of categories right off the top, and I just want to see who gets the nod in certain categories across these comparisons. So perimeter shooting, Christian Wood absolutely takes the cake against Clint Capela. Off-ball movement and one-on-one numbers, actually Clint Capela takes the cake. Now, finishing ability and roll gravity both go, those two categories fall in Christian Wood's favor. Playmaking and post play actually go to Clint Capela. Now, I do think that the playmaking numbers are probably a little bit skewed, because Clint Capela, especially this past season, was put in so many situations where James Harden, due to the increase of double teams that he saw this past season, was put in positions where he was facilitating to Clint Capela right there at the top of the key, and then Capela was forced to make a decision and pass it out to the shooter, or, you know, create off the bounce a little bit, and he got, you know, decent at doing that. And those are positions that Christian Wood will absolutely probably find himself in this next season with the Rockets, but that's probably why Clint Capela is taking the edge here in playmaking. I don't attribute Clint Capela to being a better natural playmaker than Christian Wood. I just think that's just where the numbers kind of fell this past season. Now, perimeter defense and interior defense actually both skew Christian Wood, and this is something that I'm probably going to revisit in the future to kind of look at some of the defensive numbers for Christian Wood, since we've kind of focused predominantly offensive numbers in today's episode. Now, offensive rebounding and defensive rebounding both land for Clint Capela, and then overall impact actually goes to Christian Wood. Now, that impact number is just, you know, kind of advanced stats, you know, how you're impacting the game, your, you know, box plus minus, your Raptor score, all those different statistics, which I can break down a little bit later on. Now, Kristaps Porzingis, let's go ahead and grab him really quick, make this page load. And there we go. Okay, so Porzingis actually, you know, and I think Porzingis is a really apt comparison for Christian Wood, and a really solid comp as far as what he's going to bring to the table for the Rockets. But I do think that Christian Wood, in a way, is kind of a nice blend of what Capela provided and what Porzingis provides to the Mavericks, because he's not quite the perimeter player that Porzingis is, and he's not quite the inside lob threat presence that Clint Capela is, but he's effective enough at both elements of those games that he gives the Rockets, again, a very dynamic front court player to pair with James Harden. So rolling down this list, perimeter shooting and off-ball movement, as well as one-on-one ability, all fall towards Kristaps Porzingis. Now, finishing and roll gravity still land with Christian Wood in this comparison. Playmaking, again, goes to Porzingis. Post-play and perimeter defense land on Christian Wood. Now, the interior defense actually falls with Porzingis, as well as defensive rebound. Offensive rebounding, Christian Wood actually takes the edge over Porzingis. And then again, the impact that Christian Wood has on the game is more effective than Kristaps Porzingis. And again, those impact numbers, I want to scroll down and provide a little bit of context around what those impact numbers mean. Give me 1 second here. There we go. Okay, so the player impact, it does base itself on a lot of the player impact plus minus system, which is the PIPM system. So it's broken down into offensive player impact plus minus, defensive player impact plus minus, and then player impact plus minus wins added. So Christian Wood overall, including, you know, and this is not just that PIPM, it's also RPM, so real plus minus, Raptor, a box plus minus, all these different advanced metrics to kind of try to evaluate how much a player is actually impacting the game. And Christian Wood actually beats Kristaps Porzingis in a lot of these categories. Specifically, he sweeps the floor in the Raptor category as well as the Raptor box category. Box plus minus, he waxes Kristaps Porzingis. And then real plus minus, he actually takes just offensive RPM, and then Porzingis actually takes defensive RPM and RPM wins added, as well as PIPM. Porzingis takes a couple of those categories over Christian Wood. But overall, when you weigh these, what is it, 6 different categories, when you weigh them all against each other, Christian Wood comes away as the more quote-unquote impactful player when it comes to the advanced stats behind the game. And then just looking at the efficiency between the two players, Christian Wood's effective field goal percentage is sky high at 62%. His true shooting percentage, 66.1%, versus Kristaps Porzingis, who surprisingly is, you know, all the way down at just 46%, which is a little crazy to think about. I didn't realize Kristaps Porzingis was, for all intents and purposes, not a very efficient player. Because again, just down the line, Christian Wood looks to be more efficient. Now, the thing about these statistics is they are generally weighted on a per 75 possessions basis. So that way it kind of doesn't, it accounts for the fact that Christian Wood did spend a chunk of the season coming off the bench, and it should account for the fact that, you know, he did have his explosion during the 12 games where he started, but it should weigh all the categories down evenly when comparing these two players. That way you're not talking about, okay, well, Christian Wood produced this much when he was coming off the bench versus Kristaps Porzingis, who got to be a starter all season long. And then same numbers, same thing for Clint Capella and the numbers that we compared there. Though, you know, a lot of those numbers, a lot of those metrics were on a per 75 possessions basis, or another way to kind of measure two players against each other who are from, one might be a bench player, or one might just be a rotation player who gets limited minutes versus a starter who gets legitimate minutes. A nice way to compare those players, and something that I was doing on Twitter the other day, is on a per 36 basis. So like when you compare Christian Wood and Kristaps Porzingis on a per 36 minutes basis, their numbers are actually pretty similar, which is why it's such an interesting comp between the two guys. They're both 24 years old. They both got a lot of room to increase and grow in their respective games. And it's going to be, again, very interesting to see what Christian Wood does under Stephen Silas after, you know, Stephen Silas just came away from Luka Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis, what he's going to be able to accomplish with James Harden and Christian Wood now in this Rockets lineup. So I think that's going to be where we wrap things up for today. This was my first time kind of running through some of these numbers, and I'm still pretty new at it. I do want to get a deeper understanding of what some of these things mean, because, again, I have a working knowledge of some of it right now, and I'll probably, what I'm going to look to do is I'm going to try to bring Tim. So if you were listening back during our Rockets-Lakers playoff series, Tim, the founder of B-Ball Index, you can catch him on Twitter as Krangis McBasketball, which is a fun little moniker that he has. But I'll try and bring Tim back in here to help kind of, bring some of these numbers down to earth and put, you know, make them a little bit friendlier. Because when you're presented with so much data all at once, even for me, looking at some of these numbers, you know, I'm a little bit lost in a sea of data. And for him, he has a really wonderful way of kind of breaking down some of these numbers and explaining what they mean. And that's what I tried to accomplish here today. And I hope I did a decent enough job to try and convey why Christian Wood is going to be a good fit in this Rockets system alongside James Harden, as the new role man in town. But again, I'll try and get Tim back on the show here soon so that we can kind of talk about some more numbers. Obviously, I want to recap, you know, talk about James Harden's numbers from this past season and what all those numbers mean, get to Russell Westbrook, get to some other Houston Rockets. And we'll do all of that in the coming days and weeks as we prepare for this next Houston Rockets basketball season. But for today's show, that's going to be where we wrap things up. As always, thank you so much for listening. And we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.